Now, there are several things about verse 6 that you need to understand. There's not a parent in verse 6. Not a parent at all in that verse. In fact, there's not a son or a daughter singled out in that verse. There's someone training and there's a child. And that's very important. It's very significant that you don't try to make this verse something that it's not. There is a lot of things that train your children. There's a lot of things in life that structure and develop them. And it's very important that you understand that. And I don't want to get hung up, but let me just talk to you tonight from my heart about training children. There's been a lot of books, we've already said, written on the subject about raising children. And I have never read a book on raising children. I have never, that I know of, read any kind of parent-child relationship, psychological books. I've never read books by preachers or Bible scholars, so-called, that have written books about training your children biblically. I remember having a book in my home one time that had, if I'm not mistaken, I think it had a buggy on it that was an Amish buggy. I think that's right. Is that right, honey? I believe. And I'm assuming, may not be right, but I'm assuming that this book was written by an Amish because it had a buggy on the front of it. But I looked at it one time but never read it. And I don't attribute my knowledge of raising children by the knowledge of the world or by the knowledge of religion. Amen. You have a Bible. And you would do well to believe it and put it to practice. Amen. Now, I want to say this. I said this at the outset. I will say it again tonight. All of my children are here with me in this church. And if I had it to do all over again, you could not put in a book the things that I would do different. And that's a fact. And I don't say that to justify some choice they may make tomorrow. I say that because it's just the truth. If I had it to do over again, there would be things I would do different. If I had it to do over again, there's things that my children would never hear me say. They've never heard me cuss. They've never heard me say anything profane. They've never heard me tell a lie that I'm aware of knowingly. They've never heard me say anything off color that I'm aware of. Anything questionable that I'm aware of. But if I had it to do all over again tonight, there are some things that my children would never hear me say. And that's just true honesty from my heart. And the greatest thing that could happen to you as a parent, as a person that is involved in a child's training, as an individual that is flesh and that has a frame, the best thing that could happen to you tonight is for you to lay aside your pride for just a moment so God can teach you some things. And God could take some things, amen, and give you the ability to help others. You know what I want to do? I don't want these young families to do what I did. I don't want them to say things I said. I don't want these because I'm going to tell you what, my children are here tonight because of the grace of God. They made some choices about life. And they could change those choices tomorrow just like I could. They have a free will. It's getting kind of quiet in here, amen. They have a free will and they can make choices. But I'm telling you as a parent tonight, you need to understand that this verse deals with training up a child in the way he should go. Now here's what we've done. We set out to look at this verse and to outline the verse. And we only got to the word train. We dealt with the entire service on the word train. Here's what I intended to do. I intended to deal with one point of the verse and then chase a subject about training. and I didn't get there the other night. And so if you'll give me just a little time tonight, I want to try, if I can, with the help of the Lord, to talk to you about a couple of things, or maybe one thing, about this issue of raising your children. But I still am interested in that word train. It involves the process that is involved in children being raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Here's the way I have outlined this verse. There is people. Someone is here. Someone training. Someone being trained. There is a process. There's a process that's in the word train. You listening? There is a projection. Train up. Now, I've done things different with my children than my mom and dad did with theirs. You know, I expect from my daughters and my son, as they progress and as they live and as they have a family and as they involve themselves in training their children, you know what I expect them to do? Some things different than me and their mother did. I expect they go up, not down. There are some things we didn't have in their home. There are some things we had in our home. And they should know what was in our home that was a negative influence on them spiritually. They know more than I know. Jamie, Jacqueline, Travis, and Jessica should know more than I know and know more than their mother knows about what was allowed and what went on in our home that was a detriment to them. So through that knowledge and by that insight, they should train up. Amen. And so that's, and I didn't mean to get involved right there. I'll probably, if there's a projection, grow, train up. There's a person, there's a child, there's a path. Train up a child in the way he should go. There's purity, the way he should go. There's some things he should do. There's some expectations. There is a purpose. Train up a child in the way he should go. Amen. Go. He's going to go. He's going somewhere. She's going somewhere. The greatest thing for you as a mom and dad, amen, to come to grips with as you hold that infant or see that little elementary fella or see that junior high or high school, the greatest thing you can realize is they are headed somewhere. They are going. They are going. They are going. And you as a mother, and you as a dad, and you as an individual that is involved in the training of a child, you are to understand that it is your responsibility to prepare them in this going issue. You try to hold on to them. You try to keep them at home and keep them here and keep them there. You're going to have problems because this verse says, train up a child in the way he should go. Amen. And so there's a lot of things in this verse that I'm getting all tied up here. Amen. But there is in this verse, let me just put it to you this way. There's a process. Let's outline it this way. There's a process, train. There's a projection up. There is a person, a child. We'll look at that maybe later on a little more in depth. There's a path. There's the way. There's purity in the phrase he should. There is a purpose, go. There is a progress, old. When he's old. And then there's a promise, depart from it. And that word promise and the word principle could probably be intertwined in that last phrase, because a lot of people get afraid of this verse. And in their fear of this verse, and you know why? Look at me for just a minute. Would you look at me for just a moment? Do you know why you're afraid of this verse? Do you know why you moms and dad are afraid of Proverbs 22:6? It's not because you're concerned about your children and which way they're going to go. It's because you're so consumed with your pride that you're worried to death about what somebody's going to think of you because of how they've turned out or the choices they've made. Does it not hurt your pride if your son gets in trouble or sins and it gets public? Does it not mess with your pride, Miss Brenda? Does it not affect your pride? Sure it does. And if we could junk that to the degree where our heart could be truly burdened and broken. Brother David put it this way. He said, you know, I was broken, then I got mad. You know why you get mad? It's because you've been hurt. Most of the hurt you feel is your pride. But I'm going to tell you what tonight, we have such a pride issue. We are so overwhelmed with who we are and what everybody else is going to think about us that we don't give a flying flip about our children. If we would be as concerned about them having a walk with God and serving the Lord. And I prayed for my grandchildren today as I prayed for my children through the years. I said, Lord, make yourself real to them. I don't pray that prayer that I might stand up and say, God has been real to my children. I want God to be real to my children. Brother Wells said they were going down the road the other day and someone was singing a song. I don't remember what it was. And God began to work in his heart and bless him. And he was crying. He looked over there and his wife's crying, his daughter's crying, and the presence of God is in the car. I'm telling you, that's nothing to boast in. That's something to live in and rejoice in and be thankful for and desire that others may know it. He made this statement. He said, I couldn't live without it. I couldn't survive without it. How do people live without the presence of God? But we are not interested in that as much as we are our pride. Amen.
Amen.
And that, my friend, is the gospel truth. And when you will admit to that, you can get some help from God. Amen. And that's a fact. You understand that tonight? You can get some help from God when you admit to that. Here's what people say. I'm going to say it again because I've said it. I've heard people say it, and you've probably said it. If you are standing where you are standing and your children are on the other side of your authority, fact of the matter is, you know, I've stood up and made this statement concerning my own mom and dad. I'd say they did the best they could, but they didn't do the best they could. And my mother's here tonight. And I'd fight everybody in this building at one time over. They did the best they knowed how. No, they didn't. I didn't, and neither did you. There are things that you knew better, but you let go on in your home. And the best thing for you to do is admit that you did. And hope to God and pray and seek the face of God on behalf of these young families and their children. Is that not right, Brother Thrin? There's things that's went on in my home. There's things that I've allowed to go on in my home. If I had it to do over again, I wouldn't do. I preach things from this pulpit that you have let your children do. Is anybody going to stand up in this building and say, Preacher, I've done everything you've said from that pulpit? Anybody want to stand up? We'll wait on you. And I'll tell you what you haven't done. Anybody want to stand up? I'm honest. I'm honest. We'll shut the internet off or whatever and let you talk tonight. Have you done everything I've said? Have you? Have you, Brother Deacon Jim? You've not done everything I said. So you haven't did all you know to do. Have you? And you hadn't, and David hadn't, Brother Thrin hasn't, Brother Josh hasn't, and I've preached it and I haven't. So why can't we just admit to that and get some help and let some of these others move up? That's the point I'm trying to make. Now, I could write a book right now on raising children because all of my children are here. Might even sell a few. I probably wouldn't read it. I've never read one. I probably wouldn't read my own. But the point I'm trying to make tonight is you can take the Word of God and the severity, the seriousness of Proverbs 22:6, and you can by faith claim that promise. Or through pride, you can fear it all the days of your life. But promises are not to be feared. Promises are to by faith believe. Amen. Here's what I said for you that were not here when I preached on the word train. I said training involves instruction. Instruction involves conversation, communicating with your children. Do you talk to them? My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. You talk to your kids today? You talk to your children? You conversed with them? Preacher, I'm busy. All right then. Don't fear or try to by faith embrace Proverbs 22:6. Training involves conversation, your words. Training involves concept. Amen. That word concept means perception, impression, motion, thought, idea. It is an understanding of what is wrong. Have you taught concept to your children? Spiritually, we call that conviction. I said that the other night. Spiritually, we call that conviction because we have the Holy Ghost dealing in our heart. And when we do wrong, the Spirit of God rebukes us. Is that not right? A child doesn't have that. All they have is their conscience, and that's not even developed if you are not building concepts within them to understand the idea that this is wrong. Yes, illustration, this come off the cuff, but illustration. Brother Jesse and was working at the barn. I'm out there bush hogging yesterday afternoon in the field, and I noticed Jesse standing outside the barn. He's supposed to be in the barn working. He's standing outside the barn. So I pull up. I said, "You need me?" "No, I don't need you." "Why are you standing?" "You know, I'm trying to fit." I looked. I'm in the tractor. I said, "You need me?" "No, I don't need you." And he has run across a spider. Somewhere along life's way, he learned the marking of a black with a spider, and he learned somewhere along life's way the concept that you don't want to get bit by it. Somebody taught him that, right? That's a concept. That spider will bite me and my head will rot off and my toes will fall off my feet. So therefore, instead of mashing it with my foot and progressing on with the project that is set before me, amen, as a job, I stand outside and wait till it dies of old age or the spray kills it if I got it on him. Those are concepts. Amen. Right? Do you take time to teach those to your children? Then there's the issue, and I'm still on the word instruction. Instruction means correction. And correction is not dealing with wrong as much as it is dealing with right. And thank God for the word no, amen. But we embed no so much in our children, they never know what yes is about. But correction is just that. Correct. It's correct. It's right. Correct this paper. It's not about that it's wrong. It's about it is wrong, but you're going to make it right. So they do it wrong. You know what happens in most cases with dads and their sons? Rather than make them do it and do it right, we go out there and do it for them because they done it wrong to start with. It involves chastening. And then we summed it all up, the word instruction, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. So, and profitable. I'm pre-preaching it all over again. Lord help us. But then there's instruction. Then there's influence. The life of the child you are training is formed by influence. The things that surround him or her. I had a preacher make this statement one time. I don't know if he made it to me or he made it to someone else. And here's what he said. He said, camp meetings have destroyed my children. He was in evangelism, Brother Justin, and he went from place to place and meeting to meeting. And, you know, he's at a camp meeting here, probably only preaches one time, probably gets enough money to, amen, buy half a tank of gas to leave. While his children's out back behind the dorms and walking around in the dark places of the camp meeting. Or outside in the vestibule texting or talking and fooling around while everybody's in the meeting. I don't know what happened to my children. I exposed them to old-time religion and the power of God. No, you didn't. You made gypsies out of them. They know nothing about structure and stability, and they've been surrounded by the influence of religion that has no realness. It's all a fairy tale world. Influence, the life, the language, the looks, and the longings they have is all a result of the things that you have allowed to surround your children. Amen. Inspiration is a part of training. Things that are alive, things that inspire, things that move. Amen. Things move. You. Inspirational music will. Good reading will move you. And you influence your children and you allow them to be exposed. And then you let your children read constantly a bunch of trash that has no reality to it. Their world is going to be turned inside out and upside down just like yours is. When they have to face the realness of life. That the man they marry, his breath stinks in the morning. And if you don't wash the dishes, they pile up after a while. And the laundry room, my soul, will it not pile up if you don't do the laundry? But in those books, they never do laundry. Nobody ever brushes their teeth. Deanne Anderson has never probably devoted a half a chapter, if that's what her name is, on this fella brushed his teeth. And now Harry, my stepdad here, now he could write a book on it. He brushes every tooth individually. He's 90 and got them all. Every one of them. Now he could write a book on brushing your teeth, I'm sure. But I promise you, those people don't write books or chapters, paragraphs, or probably, I think I read one Western novel one time that talked about a fella breaking off a twig that had some kind of peppermint scent to it, dipping it in water and rubbing it in his mouth. That's the only thing I've ever read in all the books I've read about brushing teeth. But that's a fairy tale world. They know nothing about the reality of life. Amen. Some of you women don't know nothing about it. If you don't believe that, go look in the house. Just open the door and take an honest look at the condition your home is in. You don't understand what I do. Let me tell you what my mother did, and she's here tonight. My mother took care of all my daddy's bookwork and business. She was up every morning, run a store. She run the store while he run the record business and the oil business and took care of the rental property. And she sold bread, tomatoes, watermelons. And there was a body shop in the back that a man run. I never, in 18 years, is that right, or 19 years of living at home, I never one time went to bed and it wasn't made before I got in there. And I never one time that I remember made it. I never one time remember waking up the next morning with supper dishes stacked in the sink that I can remember. And my mother worked in a cotton mill, raised children. When they didn't have computers and cell phones And my daddy would tell you, if you was going to buy a car and it had 40,000 miles on it, he would say, boy, that thing is wore slam out. Don't buy it. It'll break down before you get out of town. That's how long they lasted back then. So I don't want to hear all that whining and crying from no women or no men about we don't have time. When we got push button everything and we got cars that run 200,000 miles before you have to even change the spark plug, and we drive 80 and 90 miles an hour, we got airplanes, jets, spaceships and everything else, but we don't have time. Preacher, we just don't have time. No, you don't have structure or discipline. And all of those things, how in the world did I get off on all that? Amen. This ain't got nothing to do with training up your children. Amen. This is about all to do with getting on the roof, honey. Amen. Train up a child. That's what I'm trying to preach about in the way he should go. But I'm going to tell you what, all that stuff that is around your children, all the video games, all the phones, all the computers, all the movies, their mind is involved in something. Your children's mind is thinking about something right now. They're thinking about how many dishes is in the sink. Some of them are. They say, man, he's burning mama's hide up tonight. That's what some of them's thinking about. I've been doing this so long. I told Jesse, there was a broke handle out at the barn. Lord help, I got him helping me now. Amen. Lord Jesus, help us. Amen. But it's a broke handle. I said, who broke that hammer? You know how that goes. The silent treatment, the look. I said, where's the hammerhead at? And I forget where he said. But when I went across the road where he's dumping the wood, there's a $40 body hammer that he's down there wrecking out a barn with. I'm not being mean to him. He didn't know any better. But the reason he didn't know any better is he didn't ask. I didn't tell him to go down there and get that hammer. He was just being creative, like his mama. Amen. And here's what I told him. I said, I'm going to tell you something, boys. Don't try to hide something from me that you break, because it ain't going to work. You can't even hardly nail 200 sheets of plywood and not drive a nail head up with house wrap on it and me not see it. I done been through it too long, too many times with kids. And I said, I know probably what you're thinking before you even have time to think it. I said, so if you break it, you come to me and tell me, and it'll be all right. If I find it later that you're hiding from me, it ain't going to be all right. So we're in the process of, you know what I'm saying? Amen. We don't ignore it. We're not ignoring things. That's your problem. You just ignore it. Look over things. You never build any structure. And that's a part of the verse too. Well, I was going to talk about will tonight. Give me 5 minutes. I'm going to talk about the will of a child. This whole verse revolves around a lot of things. And one thing that is very important, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to probably preach about this outline I just preached about. I'm going to probably preach that a lot and focus and really hone in on maybe different points about the verse. Is everybody with me there? I don't want you to get lost. I want you to try to stay with me. But then I'm going to try to jump on something like right now, the will. We're going to look at several things about training up a child. You know what Proverbs 22:15 says? Now you need to get this. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So, you do not have to worry about your child being foolish. It's bound in his heart. And you're going to have to deal with that child's will to address that issue. Your child's will be resurrected every day. Every day. Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And so you're going to have to understand that what you dealt with yesterday, you're probably going to have to deal with tomorrow and today. And the things, I said this earlier, the things that you think are cute and funny, when he gets 15 and she gets 15, it won't be cute. And I promise you, you won't be laughing at it. The most difficult part of dealing with a child's will as a trainer of children or a child is consistent discipline. That is falling apart in America and around the world. You can read statistics, and I didn't, but I remember reading something a number of years ago that someone pulled out. It said problems that they had in school, you know, so many years ago, problems they have today, you know, and it was like chewing gum, breaking in the lunch line. Now it's crack, cocaine, pornography, and knifing one another and taking guns to school. Do you know what's happened with that? Do you know what is the result of that? A child's will has never been addressed. Discipline has been placed aside or laid aside. When you talk about a child's will, it is very important that you understand what it means for a child to be self-willed. Now, I don't have this verse, I don't think, down in my notes right here, but let me see if I can find you a verse in the book. Well, I can probably quote it. Or get it close. The Bible says in Peter about a group of people that speak evil of dignities. They despise authority. They can't handle anybody telling them when or what to do. And here's what it says about those people. They are self-willed, presumptuous, not afraid to speak evil of dignity. And I'm going to tell you something. I realize that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And I realize tonight that every child's will is different. And we'll talk about that maybe when we get to the person in verse 6. But you need to understand that you will break that child's will. And there's a lot of psychologists that are really down on that word break, that break the will. But you will break their will or... their will break your heart. If you know what self-willed means? It means self-pleasing. In other words, they want their way. And they want what they want. And when you let your children get by with that foolishness, and that's what it is, foolishness that's bound in their heart, they will think the world owes them everything. They will think that society... and everything and everybody around them is indebted to them. They are self-willed. That's why this country's in the shape it's in tonight. It's self-willed. It expects everything from the society. And the reason being is mom and dad has trained them to think that way. They've never dealt with their will. They have never sacrificed and give of themselves. They are self-willed. That is the mentality of this entire political structure and economic structure. I mean, think about it this way. And some of you probably don't know anything about this, but what's the debt ceiling? What does it mean when they say raise the debt ceiling? It means we're in debt up to the ceiling, and we're going to have to raise the ceiling. Is that not right, Brother Kenneth? That's pretty much cornfield theology. Let me ask you a question. Let's say we got hog manure in here to the ceiling. I'm talking about hog manure to the ceiling. What are we going to do? Raise the ceiling or pump the hog manure out? Amen. But that's the mentality that our children have developed by the way they've been raised. Give, give, get. Everything's about what I want and what I can gain. The reason why your children are in the shape that they're in right now spiritually is because they have lived a self-willed life. And that's a fact. And you preacher boys, preacher men, better be very careful, Brother Justin, about your children. Because you'll take them to meetings and they will just, I mean, just pour all over them. Take them to the fair. Take them to the amusement park. Well, while Daddy's preaching this week, we're going to get together and go to the zoo. And the ministries. Now, I've had preachers call me that were coming to a meeting to preach for me in years gone by. And here's what they would say. What are we going to do? What have you got planned? Well, I had revival planned. We got anything special going on? Well, I won't probably be working. I hope you pray and get ready to preach. They want to be entertained. They want their children to be entertained. They want something bought for them. They want to be taken somewhere. And that, Brother Hill, is the mentality of this generation of young people. They are self-willed. They do not know what it means to give and work and reach out to the needs and to the benefits of others. When I was your age, the age of some of these young people in this building, I worked more for nothing than I did for anything. I remember years ago, I worked one time 70-something hours at a flea market. They were building a flea market down on Wade Hampton Boulevard, and I was hired by a man to help him. We built shelters down to for people to put their stuff under. And he had a board and a cane. You know what a cane pole is? It's what you fish with, but these things were big. And I cut them every one by hand with an axe. I worked 70-something hours. I guess it'd be fodder. Is that what it'd be, Brother Ray? I had fodder all over me. I mean, I was just blood red, itching all over where I'd been in a patch of cane poles, chopping them so he could put a cane pole between every board just for looks. And I was about 16. I worked that whole week and then worked the flea market that next day or that Saturday, and he gave me $30. And he told my daddy, so now I can't pay him that good every week. And I'm talking about I work like a mule. But I'm going to tell you what it done. It broke my will. Praise God, I was glad to get anything after them days. The Bible said in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That don't mean bedtime, that means a lot of times. You break their will by discipline, and you form and structure it to go in a direction. This church can't do that. I can't do that as a pastor. I can be a part of the equation. And men can be a part of the equation, but only the trainer can do this. And you moms and dads, you may not be a musician. You may not be an artist. You may not have the gift to write or build, but you have the gift to train. It's born within you. You have the gift to train. And with that gift, you're not going to stand here or sit here and tell me that, well, I never noticed that. I never seen that in them. Yes, you did. Don't lie about it. You're just lying to yourself anyway. You did see it. It's very evident. You just got to open your eyes and realize your little darling is not that much of a darling. I mean, you can dress her up. You can put a little frills all over her. But she's mean as the devil. And you know she is. If you don't believe it, take something away from him. Tell him no. And watch him see how far. Watch him, want him mow. Watch west. You tell him no, see it, watch him heal. Watch him. You know what that is? Self-will. That's what it is. And I'm going to tell you what will happen if they're self-willed and you let them get by with it and you don't break that in their life. They won't be afraid to speak evil of anything, no matter how dignified it may be. Well, preacher, let me tell you how I done it. I'm going to tell you how you done it. Your children heard you say something negative about the pastor. That's how you done it. And some of you can't say nothing about that because I've pastored this church for 24 years as of last Sunday, and I've seen some of them that was little bitty that now has grown up. And when they get grown, sometimes when they have problems, they're just honest. Amen. They've heard you say negative things about the church. Amen. And you have developed a self-critical will within them. They've heard you say negative things about people in the church and ministries of the church and the school, or how Brother Tarvin runs the prison, or how Brother David does the youth detention, how Brother Tootie is a deacon, or whatever the case may be, or how the secretary handles the administrative affairs, or this or that, and you've griped and you've run your mouth. But I've trained my children, they didn't have a TV. My children didn't have a TV. Probably been better off if mine had been occupied with something on television to listen to your mouth. Probably been less destructive for some of them that I've pastored in 20-something years. The damage I've seen it done, do. You break their wheels, everybody still listening, amen. Amen. You break their will. You build their will. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The will is built by discipline. It doesn't just break something down, but it gives wisdom. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee what? What's the Bible say? What's it say? Do you know? I tell you what, you as a dad or a mother ought to know. It ought to mean so. You can tell me what James Dobson has to say about it, or Dr. Diddlefinger, or whatever his name is. Smell fungus, or whatever Brother Raines called him. But this Bible says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Rest. Rest, Jeremiah. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have a night's rest? Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You consistently discipline and have a structure in your home, a mom and a dad, or a trainer and his wife, as a union functioning to build a child's will through consistent discipline. The biggest battle you'll fight is trying to implement something as a father and mother tearing it down. I deal with that now. It's just a problem. I can say something about my daughter getting out of bed and getting in the garden. I can say something when I get home about something not being done, and my wife will defend them. 99% of the time she'll say, she's been helping me today, or she was up late last night, or something. That's what happens, Brother Steve. Is that not right? Some of you dads know I'm telling the truth. And I'm going to tell you what, it can get so bad. I've seen daddies whip their children and mother coddle them and hold them up and rub on their head. Bless your heart. Yeah, he's awful mean. Oh, wicked old man, done beat the devil out of you. That's why they're the way they are. If you think it's bad right now, you wait till later. It'll get worse, Brother Crabtree. I mean, it gets real bad. Real bad. Brother Jim just testified, not I heard it on the radio today on the news, and he's witnessed to a man, worked with a man that killed his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend or whatever the case may be, and killed both his children, and then tried to kill himself. He's still alive in the hospital. I'm telling you, it gets pretty bad. If you don't believe it, go to youth detention. Go to the prison. It'll go way beyond just a daughter or a son rebelling against the Bible. It goes far worse than that. Train up! I'm going to tell you what you should do as a dad, Jeremiah. You should look at the things that was in the structure of your home and glean from the good. But understand, with a humble spirit and a knowledge in your mind that Daddy let this go on and this is what it done to me, so I'm going to go up instead of going down or trying to keep a level plane. If you're going to try to keep, well, I tell you what, my daddy is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus. Preach the hide off everybody. And we all in church, I'm going to do this exactly like he did. If my children raise their children the way I raised them, good chance they'll die and go to hell or never amount to anything for God. Don't claim that promise. That promise says train up. You don't go south and you don't stay level. Because things in the world's getting worse. It's a pretty big pill to swallow. You build their will. Their will is broken, built. And here's what it says. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The Bible tells us that a man that does not apply the rod of correction to his children, that man, and I believe it applies to the women as well, hates his soul. So I believe the will has to be broke, because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And the last thing you want a child to be is self-willed, and every child is different. That will has to be built. That will has to one day bow. If I ask your son or daughter tonight that's in this building that's grown, I'd say, how did your mom and dad deal with authority? What kind of relationship do they have with the authority of the pastor or the authority of a supervisor on the job? Constantly critical about anybody that is an oversight in their world. They've seen that. I want to tell you something. A parent can see things, Tyler. I've seen your dad pop you upside the head before on a job. I didn't even know you'd done anything wrong. But I seen him. And it wasn't that you didn't do what you were told. It was the fact that he saw something in your countenance that he didn't like. Is that not right? I've seen him pop him upside the head. Well, I wouldn't do that. Well, I'm going to tell you what he did. He'd probably pop you upside the head if you give him a wrong look if he wanted to bad enough. Amen. Just because your children are doing what you say doesn't mean they want to. But it deals with the will. There was a preacher boy that was having trouble with his pastor. Now, I know this firsthand. It's not in this church, but I know it firsthand. And this preacher boy now is in a mess. He's out of that church, and his world's in a mess. He was having a problem with submitting to his pastor's authority because he thought he was unreasonable. You know what he done? He called an evangelist. I can tell you who he called. He called Randy Sutherland. And he said, you know, I'm having a problem and I don't know about all this pastoral authority stuff. And he said, what do you think about it? He said, well, I'll tell you what, my pastor tells me where to sit. He said, do what? He said, my pastor tells me where to sit. What do? I sit where he tells me to sit. He's a grown man, got kids. He said, what's the big deal? I just say where he wants me to say it. Some of you couldn't handle that. No, I know you couldn't handle it. Now, I ain't going to make you tell you where to say it. That just ain't me. But the point I'm trying to make is how you address authority issues in your life and people of authority in your life. And I'm going to tell you what, as a parent, you better understand the severity of getting your children's will to bow. Because one day, they're going to be called on to bow before the Lord. And it'd be a whole lot better for them to bow young. If you knew the statistics of people age-wise that get saved on up in age, it is unbelievable of how it drops. So the first thing you got to understand about raising a child and training a child is you're going to have to understand that that child has a will. And that will needs to be submissive. That will needs to be yielded. That will needs to be pliable. And if they are self-willed, and I realize when you take a kid to Walmart and he throws a literal fit, that you'll get thrown in jail. But I promise you, we're going to get to the house. I had a lost man tell me the other day, he had to deal with his child about something. And he said, I'll call 911. He grabbed the phone and said, call them. Call them right now. Let them feed you. See, they'll buy you a four-wheeler to ride on. Call them. Call them right now and go lay up with the rest of that bunch. Huh. That's probably not the way I'd have dealt with it. That's the way he dealt with it. When I got through with him, he couldn't have said 911 without throwing up. Amen. I'd do some things different, would you? If you would be honest, you would. You haven't done all you know. And I know that, and you know that. So I'm telling you, is everybody with me tonight? You young parents, young families. Brother Kenneth, I need you to grab the awards and come on up and help me. You parents need to understand that this thing is an upward thing. And you need to realize that if you're going to do it the way your mom and dad tried to make it happen, are you going to stay on that plane, that it's not going to work. Not in this society. You better get tougher.